scripture lesson is taken from the book of Judges, Judges chapter 15. And the book of Judges is full of negative examples. Examples of what, lots of times, what ought not to be. And Samson particularly is a guy who God used despite himself. And it's my hope that when you are feeling discouraged, when you've set yourself a task to do for God, and then the Satan comes along and says to you, "Why, you can't do that," you'll say to Satan, "If God can use Satan, if God can use Samson, God can use me." Chapter 15. Later on, at a time of wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. He said, "I'm going to my wife's room," but her father would not let him go in. "I was so sure you hated her," he said, "that I gave her to your companion. Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead." Samson said to them, "This time I have a right to get even with the Philistines. I really harmed them." So he went out and caught 300 foxes and tied them tail to tail in pairs, and he fastened a torch to each pair of tails and lit the torches and let the foxes loose. In the standing grain of the Philistines, he burned up their shocks and standing grain, together with the vineyards and the olive groves. When the Philistines asked who did this, they were told, "Samson, the Timnite's son-in-law, because his wife was given to his companion." So the Philistines went up and burned her and her father to death. Samson said to them, "Since you've acted this way, I swear I won't stop until I get my revenge on you." And he attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. Then he went down and stayed in a cave in the rock of Etam. The Philistines went up and camped in Judah, spreading out near Lehi. The people of Judah asked, "Why have you come to fight us?" "We've come to take Samson prisoner," they answered, "to do to him as he did to us." Then 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave in the rock of Edom and said to Samson, "Don't you realize the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us?" He answered, "I merely did to them what they did to me." They said to him, "We've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines." Samson said, "Swear to me that you won't kill me yourselves." They agreed. "Agreed," they answered. "We will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you." So they bound him with two new ropes and led him up from the rock. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, "With the donkey's jawbone, I've made donkeys of them. With the donkey's jawbone, I've killed 1,000 men." When he had finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramoth-Lehi, which means jawbone hill. Because he was very thirsty, he cried out to the Lord, "You've given your servant this great victory. Now must I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" Then God opened up the hollow in Lehi, and water came out of it, and Samson drank. His strength returned, and he revived. So the spring was called En-Hakkor, and it is still there in Lehi. Samson led Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. What I want to talk about today is not so much Samson, but about the people of Judah. And it's about the fact that they've learned to get by in bondage. And Samson's like chaos embodied. He's trouble everywhere he goes. You don't read this chapter and say, "You know what, I got to start collecting foxes." That's not the moral of the story. Samson, we saw in last chapter, the first chapter we looked at, chapter 13, he should have been a good man because he was called of God even as a child. He was called of God. He was anointed of God. He had the Holy Spirit. That was the expectation, chapter 13. Chapter 14 was a terrible disappointment. And chapter 15, you don't decide when you read the Bible, when you read these Old Testament histories, you don't say, I'm going to do just like all these people. You have to go to the teaching about what's appropriate. And what's appropriate, according to the teaching in God's Word, is that we don't live our lives consumed in anger. And you see, that is the story of Samson's life. He's to give you the background in chapter 13, verse 1, is that the children of Israel have all turned to the foreign gods, gods of the Amorites, Moabites, and the Philistines. And in the worship of these foreign gods, they do child sacrifice. They are involved in temple prostitution. These gods are not nice sitting room gods. They've turned away from the Lord. And the Lord promised repeatedly in the law, if you turn away from me, I'm going to let your enemies rule over you. And so the enemies have ruled over them, and they've kind of become complacent with the enemies ruling over them. They got used to it. It's they don't really want to change. See, now what God had called on for the children of Israel is, he said, when you turn away from me, I'll raise up a judge, I'll raise up a leader, I'll put my spirit on him, and he'll lead you to repentance, and in repentance, he'll lead you to victory. Well, the children of Israel don't particularly want to repent. They're kind of comfortable with they've gotten used to whatever demands the Philistines have made. They've gotten used to that. It's kind of like, probably 25 years ago, I went to the doctor, and she said, you've got high blood pressure, and I weighed probably about 265 at that point. And she said, you've got high blood pressure, and you need to lose some weight. I said, don't you have a pill? I wanted not to live a self-control life, and I didn't want any consequences. Now, we're all tempted that way in some realm or another. We want to say, some of us, I've heard a number of Christians, even people in my own family, say, I'm going to say whatever I think. Please, no. Please, read the book of Proverbs. And hold your tongue. We want to say whatever we think, and then we want to try to manage the consequences. So the children of Israel they've gotten comfortable. They've learned how to manage the interest on their credit card debt. Okay? And they've decided, you know what? I really need to manage the credit card debt. What I need is another credit card, because I maxed this one out. Right? They want to continue on a path of that's not good and not healthy. And that involves being at peace with the Philistines because they're over us. And Samson's messing that up all along. Now, Samson, one of the disappointing things about him is he never seems to do things for the right reason. And that's one of the encouraging things, because that means it's hard for you and I to mess up God. And I'm glad about that. But Samson, he marries a woman. The Word of God tells him not to marry. He marries her anyway. Their wedding feast is a disaster. They fight the whole time. He abandons his wife. And that's all chapter 14, which we went over last week. Now he decides, that heat of anger's passed. He decides he's going to go have marital relations with his wife. He goes back down to Philistine territory, and her father says, I gave her to another somebody. And Samson says, well, I'm really going to get even with you now. And it tells about him catching the 300 foxes. And all I want to say about that is, That wasn't done in 6 hours or even 8 hours. He is a person that can sustain anger long term. Okay? He's got a plan, and it takes him, I don't know, probably weeks and weeks and weeks to execute his plan. And he's got to care for all those foxes. Now, we were in PetSmart, Owen and I, this week. And he's looking at this guinea pig. Can we have a guinea pig? I don't even want to take care of one guinea pig. Samson is for him, hey, it's worth it. I got this plan. And he's going to burn. I know it's bad to burn their wheat, their shocks. It's bad. But when he burns the olive groves down, you don't get over that in a year. When he burns up the vineyards, that is a serious blow, which God uses to upset the Philistines. The children of Israel just want to serve the devil, as it were, and be at peace. So the Philistines attack and they burn Samson's father-in-law and that family, and then Samson attacks them. It's back and forth. That's the way it always goes with revenge. Have you ever noticed that? I've got a cousin, I love him very much, but when he was a kid, if you squirted him with a squirt gun, he'd throw you off the dock. That was his, you know, tit for tat. That's how he'd get even. And that's how it goes. After Samson attacks him viciously, he thinks he better get out of here, and he goes and hides in a hole in the ground. Which, in that hole in the ground, he should have had some introspection, you'd think. Some of the prophets, when they have these times alone with God, they wrote some beautiful scriptures, and they gave us some wonderful wisdom. We got nada from Samson. He's just hiding. And the Philistines, they're really mad. They get the big army out, and they go into the tribe of Judah. And people from Judah say, what are you doing here? They said, we're just going to get revenge on Samson. So they take, here's the thing. They take 3,000 soldiers from Judah. Now, how many soldiers did Samson kill? 1,000. So they've got 3,000 soldiers. And they go down to Samson. You think Samson is bad. But God's people have got enough soldiers that if they would repent, God could give them the victory. You know, if they would repent and have Samson, they should have gone down to the hole in the ground and said, Samson, we're repenting. We're going to worship God. We're going to put our idols away. We're going to stop with the prostitution. We're going to be God's people. Now, will you come out and lead us in prayer? They come down and they take, I mean, as bad as Samson is, he's like Mahatma Gandhi to the rest of them. Because he knows what it is to trust the Lord in this situation. They've got armies worth of men, and they can't trust the Lord in victory, partly because they know Leviticus chapter 26 says, when you're faithful to me, 5 of you will chase 100, and 10 of you will chase 1,000. When you're faithful to me, I'll give you victory. And they know biblical, they're in the time of the judges, they know what happened to Gideon is just a little while before there, you know. Gideon is called of the Lord, and God gives him a victory with 300 men. In fact, 30,000 men showed up to volunteer in Gideon's army, and the Lord says, too many, you'll claim the victory. You've got enough so you can do this on your own. You don't need me. So tell everybody that's scared, go home. 20,000 people, go home. He still has 10,000 men. The Lord says, still too many. You'll claim the victory for sure. You'll claim the victory is yours. So they get down to 300 men, and God gets the victory with Gideon. They know what has happened. But they don't want to repent. You see, that's the whole story. They know they've got a leader like there's never been before and like will never be again. I don't know if they know about never be again. But there's nobody else in the Bible like Samson. God does these miracles. And I don't have any trouble believing in what the Word of God says just the way it says it. I've seen miracles in my own life. I've seen miracles in just about every church I've pastored. I know God can do it. Our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. And they know that Samson is the anointed one. And they would rather give their anointed one up to the enemy than repent. I don't know, brothers and sisters, that's pretty bad. I hope that's not you. I hope you'd rather do things God's way and repent. I'd rather that we as a people, that when we see the Word of God and we see that is different than the way I think, that we don't change the Word of God, that we change our thinking. Isn't that the goal? We don't want to conform to this world, but we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So they tie him up. And another irritating thing, I'm sorry to be so irritated with Samson. Samson, on his own, should have come out of the cave and said, "All right, people, I'm Samson, and we're all praying you're getting right with God now." Hey, what a loser. Part of it is, he takes God's blessing so much for granted, he says, "I don't need these folks. I can do it by myself. I thank the Lord. I've got you people here with me because I can't do it by myself. You can't do it by..." That's why we come to church. That's why we make friends. Because some of the sins are easy to quit. Like I think I've shared with you what Barry Tate said. One camp meeting I heard him at. He said, sin is like a burned on pot. You know, you have that pot you forgot about until you smelled it and you said, "Oops." You put it in the sink and you put in your dishcloth and you go around 2 or 3 times and about a third of the junk comes right out. Some sin is like that. It's just easy. I'm not doing that anymore. And then he said, you take your scrubby thing and you go, you work for a little bit and about another third of the stuff comes right out. Easy. Then Barry says, what is true? That last third is baked on bad, baby. And we don't get rid of that last third without help from somebody. Somebody, you know, I don't weigh 265 anymore. I tried losing weight on my own. And the doctor weighed me. And she said, "Will you lose weight?" I said, "I'll try." That's bad words, isn't it? I went back and she weighed me again. I had gained weight. She said, "Can't you pray or something?" I know, that was mean. God has so designed us that we are not going to get better. God put such a priority on love that he's decided we're not going to get over some stuff unless we get some help. And we're not going to get over some stuff. You know, the irritating thing about getting help is that admitting failure. And I am probably not the only pastor, but as your pastor, I don't like that. You don't like it sometimes either, but I'll tell you, Samson made a mistake when he went in all by himself. He could have been, you know, God called the judge Deborah in Judges. And he said, go tell Barak he's got to lead the people in war. She tells Barak. And he says, I don't know. They got 900 chariots. She says, it's what God wants. He says, I'll go if you go with me. Like, you going to protect me, Mama? And then when it gets down to battle time, it says the Spirit of God came upon Barak and he ran out ahead of his whole army. So there's Barak. The Spirit of God comes on him. He says, I can lick these guys. And the tribe of Issachar, 10,000 men, say, you're not doing it without us. And they rush into battle together. They win the victory. How much better this victory would have been if the children of Israel would have sought the Lord God, if it had been a time of national repentance, if they got discontented with serving the Philistines, said, let's do things right.